Well,
Here we are.
this is novel. This is a new setup for me. It's a little bit scary.
Ah, why is it scary?
Because I'm normally looking at the laptop, which is below my phone.
Yes.
Now I'm looking at the phone.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, we've had a slight turnaround. Hopefully, listener, this isn't going to lead to the complete breakdown of the pod or
It could be the end of the world.
the end of the world or anything like that. And unlike Smartless, who were jumping ship to Sirius XM from Amazon for $100 million, we are going to be staying free and independent, unfortunately. Yeah, our representatives and their representatives just could not come to an agreement. So it was all to do with Wes's prerequisites for joining Sirius XM, wasn't it? His fee
Yeah,
was too
I just
high.
wanted I wanted 3 bags of Skittles, but with the purple ones taken out.
Yeah, and I wanted a hot tub filled with oat milk kept at 40 degrees 24 hours a day, but they only offered soy milk and I'm not having that. So
No.
that's it.
Why would you?
We walked.
Soy
Sorry.
milk's full of things that give you man boobs, and isn't it? That's what everyone reckons.
Oh yes. Oh, it's full of estrogen. Yeah.
Estrogen.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but surely, why would that only affect the men? Wouldn't it affect the women as
Well,
well?
yeah.
And give
But
them.
there's no estrogen in cow's milk. Absolutely not.
It's almost like they're talking bollocks.
Almost.
But that can't be it.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome, listener. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. We've got a very exciting guest lined up. But first, Wes, how are things with you?
Things with me are pretty good. I've had a good week.
Good.
Yeah, just work stuff, but really good work stuff.
Awesome.
I had to do
Okie
a presentation yesterday
dokie.
online to 83 GPs in the Bolton area,
Holy moly.
which if somebody had told me 2 years ago that was what I was going to be doing, I'd been like, nah, not happening.
That's
But lo and
incredible.
behold, there I was, gaining it. I was like, yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, well proud
Very
of
good.
myself.
That's really great. Well done. Great news.
Yeah. Very small on a small scale for some people, but a big deal for me.
Yeah,
So.
absolutely. No, that's really good. And I suppose at this point we should say that this is our kind of a sponsored episode because we've been sent some V-gums and
They make me fart.
okay, and you've had them before and I haven't had them before.
Yeah.
But not only have they sent us some, they've also provided a discount code for our listeners. And so if you go to vegums.com, VEGUMS, and put in the code HOW20, you can get 20% off any purchase and then enjoy all the farts, as Wes says. I've yet to test out whether it gives you farts.
My wife and daughter are in the background giggling.
What, giggling at farts?
Yes.
Okay.
They know how bad it was when I was taking vegans.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll start using them this week and then we're recording next week as well. So I'll report back and hopefully I haven't contributed to global warming in any way.
Sorry. And I'm sure it isn't for it doesn't happen to everyone, but for me it was fart central. So there you go. What can I say?
Did you have a fart attack?
And how are you? You asked how I was. How are you?
I'm good, thanks very much. Started with a new team. What have I done now? 3 weeks, and
Yeah.
I think in a department of about 40 people, as far as I've been able to establish, I am the only vegan. I think there's one veggie who works for
Okay.
me, but everybody else is an animal eater. So work to be done.
Yeah. It's
We'll get there.
a long road ahead, but you'll get there.
And you know, if the worst comes to the worst, I'll be the only one left alive. So, you know, when they all,
Exactly, yeah. Oh, news this week. I quite like that. There was a thing on, and we saw it. There's something like over, I think it might have been 1.3 million UK residents are now living on a plant-based diet.
Wow, 1.3
Yeah.
million. What, that's
Sure, it
gone
was
up over
something
the
like
last
that,
year?
yeah. Yeah.
Their first full year of us doing a podcast.
Yeah. I'm taking that. I'm taking that
We'll
we
have
have
that.
something. Yeah.
Well done us. We're taking that as credit. We've created all those extra vegans. Okay, good. Well, if you want to get in touch, why not drop us a line? Instagram is probably the best place to come and find us, or drop us an email.
And if you were to
Oh,
email,
sorry.
it would be really good. Sorry. I thought that's what we were doing.
It's
You
all
know,
right. I
I
was
just.
leaving a pause, and then I realised that there's a maybe a bit of a delay.
It's almost like we know what we're doing.
Almost. I'm a bit worried our guest, who is a professional broadcaster, is going to join us and think, what the
If
fuck?
he were to email us,
Oh, yes.
you could just email us at howiveganpodcast@gmail.com.
So nerve-wracking.
Hey, here he is. Welcome, Jake.
Hi.
God, look at your professional setup. Good
Don't
grief.
be like, there's a reason why it's this angle. Anything else?
A
Bomb site.
proper, what's that? A
It's
proper
still a
BBC
professional
microphone.
setup. It's a yes. I mean, it's the mic. Yes, it's a nice microphone. It's a very cheap pop shield spoffle thing. But yes, stolen from.
Stolen
If
from the, it's like most
it's
people have one.
coincidence that it looks like it says BBC Radio 4. If I twist it more, you can see it says Radio 4 Extra. But who? No one wants. No
Well,
one
we
wants
can't
that.
see that, so
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
I've got a pen over here from like a Hilton hotel or something. That's what most people have, and here
Yeah.
you are with a BBC Radio 4
You can't
pop
see where
cover.
it's Hilton Croydon. You know, it's like we own the hill. And I'm so sorry about the confusion with the times and I don't know
Oh
what.
yeah, I forgot to tell Wes
My
this.
fingers have slipped and
I was at St Pancras just getting my train home on, was it yesterday or the day before? I get a message from Jake on Instagram, and it says, "So sorry, I can't do 3 p.m. tomorrow." I was like,
what?
"Oh
Yeah.
shit! Well, have I booked this the wrong time? What? I can't do 3 p.m. I'll be doing the school run."
That's so, hang on a minute. That's so, well, that was why I couldn't do it. But I was, there they are.
Oh man, my heart rate must have gone to about
That's insane
200.
because do you know where I sent you that message from?
No, go on.
St
You weren't at
Pancras.
no.
Yes. I'm not joking.
Oh my God. See, now you're in Bedford, aren't you? And I'm not being stalkery, but you have mentioned that before on various podcasts and stuff.
I'm thrilled if anyone took the interest.
But my train doesn't stop at Bedford because I'm in Kettering. So we weren't, at least we might have been in the same station, but we
We
weren't
were
on the
probably on
same train.
platform 3 and I was on platform 1.
That
Wow.
is mad.
You could have just shouted across to each
Yeah,
other
you could have
instead of messaging.
just knock on the window of the train.
Yeah, you're the guy that spilled my coffee. Yeah, so. Well, thanks for having me. Thanks so
That's
much.
hilarious. Thank
Thanks for coming.
you. Thank you. You're only a second guest that we've had on who's got a Wikipedia page. So that's and an IMDb page. So it's very exciting. Oh,
Yeah.
third with an IMDb page. So yeah, very exciting.
Well,
Yes.
I can't take the credit for any of those. I had nothing to do with those.
Oh, you didn't create them yourself. I
I
was
did
thinking
not
of setting up
know.
one for us, but I wasn't
Yeah, why
sure.
not? Yeah, I mean, yeah, some guy did my Wikipedia page. I was working on the Six Music Breakfast Show at the time. And this guy just didn't. I was like, what? Thanks.
Fantastic. That's when you know you've made it. You've got a Wikipedia page.
Exactly.
And as long as none of the drop downs are controversies, you're
Yeah,
fine.
exactly. See also, yeah, UK criminals, see all the other.
Yes. Okay, right. I've got a little intro to read out.
Amazing.
And hopefully it's not too well, it's not too inaccurate. We'll see. Okay, our guest today, where do we start? He's a comedian who's performed at the Edinburgh Festival. He's written for Nevermind the Buzzcocks when it was good. He's appeared on countless TV and radio shows, has his own podcast called Not Today, Thank You. And his YouTube channel has thousands of viewers. He's a musician, broadcaster, recovering Pepsi Max addict, and the voice of our Elwood's Dog Meat advert. It's Jake Yap.
Oh, what a lovely intro. Welcome. Thank you. And factually on the money. Yes,
I listened to your Desert Island Dicks podcast today, which was not one I'd come across before. It was absolutely hilarious. And I listened to three more after I listened to yours because they were so funny.
Oh, well, the thing is, obviously, that's now fresh in your mind. And you will know as a fellow vegan that with the whole B12 thing, I remember nothing. And I feel like that's got to be admissible in court. If you're like, my lad, he's vegan, he cannot possibly remember. You know what I mean? Surely.
Yeah, we're a protected characteristic. Surely it must count for something. Right. Otherwise,
so
what's the point?
Read, I don't remember.
Oh, I'm B12 deficient. I'm going to use that.
It exonerates you from an actual murder, does it? But
I mean, not until it's been tested in court, we won't know.
And if you're an ethical vegan, how likely is it?
That no, you that's true. No. Yeah, good point. Good point. So, Desert Island Dicks. Yes. Just as a slight aside, is obviously a bit of a ripoff of Desert Island Discs, but you have to pick three people that you think are dicks.
Yeah, I think they'd be least like to be stuck on a desert island.
And then your worst food, worst drink, worst film, and worst song, I think.
Oh, wow. I wonder if I've moved on.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I thought... So Christopher Chope MP was a good choice. I enjoyed that one. An egg as your worst food was a fantastic way of getting the veganism angle in there.
Always campaigning. I mean, you know what we're like. You can't leave it alone.
No, that's it. You got to bring it up. And the host, as soon as you said it, the host was like, "Oh well, I've been cutting down on meat, and I only have fish very occasionally."
Extraordinary, all these people who eat hardly any meat. Yeah. I've yet to find anyone who eats loads, but. Yeah. You get your fair share of trolls.
Yes.
Thank goodness there are those people who say, oh, I'm going to eat twice as much meat today now.
Yes.
Thank goodness, because hardly any.
Exactly. Everyone that you ask, oh, yeah, no, I don't eat. I hardly eat any meat. Yeah. So I mentioned that you're the voice of our Elwood's dog meat advert. And I know you're friends with our friend Molly. How did that blossom and come about?
I totally fangirled. It was the moment she went hugely viral. I'm guessing this must have been, I guess, nearly 2 years ago, probably a year and a half ago. And I said, look, I can see you've probably got quite a lot going on right now, because it was one of those proper viral moments.
Yeah.
I said, but once the storm has passed, if I can do anything to lend my strength to yours, because vegans are puny. Let me know. And so it sort of hatched a sort of intermittent partnership where we, there's things that I've done that I think she's still got sort of saved up her sleeve for her.
For blackmail or something?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Some musical things.
Nice.
Because it's such a fun idea. So we had a go at a sort of 1950s kids record about all the people in the farmyard. There's the pigs bonk and the cows moo moo and the dogs bark bark and then terrible sound effects.
We will look forward to hearing that.
Yeah. So it's great. She came over to the UK. She did a advertising campaign on the show. People who don't know, this is an organic, free-range, ethical dog meat farm, which gets a lot of people very incensed, and they pepper her saying, how could you do that? And then she says, okay, what if we said pig? And everyone says, oh, I've joined the dots, now I have to go vegan.
Got me.
Yeah.
Damn
you! So she did an advertising campaign on the London Underground, and she came and stayed with us, and So yeah, she's amazing. Changed the paradigm of activism, I think.
Yeah, it's a really different angle, and there's not really anything else that's hits you in the face in quite the same way from a vegan point of view. It's a really good new idea.
What I find amazing is how ready people are to believe it.
Yes,
I always sort of thought people, well, surely you can see, right? This is, but I've the number of times I've sort of done the spiel, and I've said, oh yeah, I've got this friend staying over. She runs a dog farm, but it's really like really high welfare, blah blah blah. And the number of people go, good lord, and you can see, you know, when people's breath changes when there's like adrenaline coughing, you know what I mean? Good lord, and they start using weird phraseology like, goodness gracious me. That they would never say under any other circumstances. And you know you've hit home because they're just behaving in this bizarre artificial way, because clearly they're like, what the hell? And it's like, yeah.
What I've had with the, like with the, what you were saying earlier on about the, I eat twice as much meat to counter your lack of eating it. The same people say, you're going to have to stop sharing the Elwood stuff because it's making me want to eat dog.
Oh,
I'm like, really? You're just saying that, aren't you? Just to be a bit silly, to be a bit of a wally.
It's a fantastic source of lean protein.
That, I mean, they only have one bad day.
Yeah,
exactly. I love that tagline, one bad day. That's
one bad day. Yeah.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Almost everything she does is very much harvested, if that's inappropriate.
Yes.
From actual meat farmers. Yeah. So all of that phraseology will have come from an actual dairy farmer. Or
yes.
And it's genius, isn't it?
The posts over the last couple of days, because there was the big fire at the chicken. I was going to say factory. It is a factory, I suppose, isn't it? The chicken place in America, and she used all the images for a big fire at a dog place and everything. Yeah. And it's literally just, you've taken out the word chicken and put in the word dog. Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And I love it when people go, oh, so sad, what a tragedy. And it's like, well, it's all you've lost there is money.
Yes.
It's not a lot of money, because they were all going to die anyway. So
yeah.
It's just money. So yeah, whatever.
There we go.
But it's great. I do like, I mean, something I really enjoy and I've tried to lean into more is doing work that aligns with my vegan values. So I used to write for Vegan Life magazine, which I really enjoyed. I did their sort of back page jokey column. I don't like it when I'm not actively doing something to promote veganism. I sort of feel slightly uneasy. And I've got a couple of projects sort of coming up soon, which I'm quite excited about.
Are you able to tell us about them, or are they under wraps?
No, not because they're particularly exciting or whatever, but just because I haven't figured them out yet fully. It's a very amorphous idea. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, podcast, fresh idea. So, I'm always happiest when I'm trying to push it. I mean, all vegans are trying to push their agenda, let's face it, but
yeah.
It's nice when I can sort of feel like if I have any residual collateral, which is rapidly dwindling from the work I've done, you know, if I can leverage that into veganism, then so much the better.
Excellent. Yes, that's because you've already got, I was going to say fame, but fame is such an empty thing, but people know who you are in the business.
Following,
and so yes, yeah. if you've got that opportunity, then it's a good thing.
Say their product. It's about 9 people. I can name them all. They all came to my birthday party, but
that must be all our listeners as well.
they're very sweet and they're very loyal, and it's always kind of it's interesting. Like, there are times when, you know, you just I'm sure you'll know how it feels, and like being vegan on social media is an awful thing, because you know you follow all these accounts that you want to follow because they're doing great work and it's really important, but it just means just seeing the horror all the time, and sometimes when it just overwhelms you and you feel so angry and upset about it that you sort of have to stand up and scream, "Why aren't you vegan?" When I do something that is basically doing that, I'll do a sketch or a song or something, you know, I sort of feel my little band of followers, they all sort of just go very quiet. I mean, not literally they're not there in front of me, but almost Instagram or Twitter, you can sort of see everyone just sort of looking at the floor and kind of like,
here he goes again.
Yeah. But they stay, which I'm very grateful.
That's good.
And you're right. It's really hard because if you're on this side of the fence, you know it all. We're not. That's a really pretentious thing to say, isn't it? But we've learned the stuff that's out there, the truth behind what we were lied to about all these years. But you still continue to follow it. You still continue to watch it on Instagram, watching the reels of something being slaughtered, and you're just like, this is shit. Why can't anybody else see it?
Yeah.
You still continue watching it, knowing that you're the only one that's doing it. And you're like,
the irony when you're like, surely I'm the guy that gets a free pass on this stuff. I'm the guy who should have to watch this stuff because I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does. It's really hard talking to, let's call them pre-vegans. Let's be optimistic.
Yes.
Because we all were once, well, I'm assuming. It's very hard because, you know, I don't really believe in shaming or hectoring, particularly as a good recruiting tool. And I try to sort of do positive messaging and sort of say, hey, do you know what? It feels fantastic when you go vegan. Feels really great. The relief. I mean, I remember it. It was about 13 years ago. And I just sort of did it overnight. I'd come out of one relationship and gone into another. And I'd wanted to go vegan for years. But it's hard. I think if you live with someone who's just not going to come there with you, that's really hard. I mean, I think it is easier now. I mean, I don't know how long you guys have been vegan, but.
Well, Wes's wife was vegan back in 2000 when I.
25 years ago, something like that.
Yeah. And she would just have basically nut roast and awful cheese.
We have this laugh that when we met on a night out, I messaged her and said, can I take you out on a date? And she went, you can, but it's going to be a bit tricky with where we go because I'm vegan. And I was like, what the fuck's that? Don't even know what that
now
is.
Now look at you. Amazing.
I know. You know, and I've said before, I did all the bingo stuff. You know, I took the piss. I said every bingo question statement out there. I've done it, and she's still with me.
But because you adapted, and that's the point. And that it is about having that patience and believing that everyone is a pre-vegan. We can get them there.
But you mentioned that you wanted to be vegan before you went vegan. What was the sort of background to that? How did you?
I knew I'd been vegetarian since I was 11, and that was a sort of I sort of soothed my soul with that in a kind of like, well, I mean, that's, you know, surely that's, you know, a little bit of milk. I just, you know, I hardly, and but I knew deep down that it wasn't okay, and I'd always had that nagging and unease, and I said terrible things. I remember saying I would go vegan, but that's just miserable. And I'm going to say, you'll know from back in the day, honestly, it kind of was.
It probably was back then, yeah.
It really kind of was. And I remember, so I went vegan overnight. Kim, my partner, you know, she'd recently turned vegan. What I always like to, I'm always fascinated by the chain reaction. The way you can trace, you know, this person influenced this person, who influenced this person, who influenced this person. I for one of my articles in Vegan Life magazine, I worked out that if you persuade one person a year to go vegan, and they in turn persuade one person and that chain reacts. After 10 years, you've made 1,000 vegans. And that's a meaningful statistic, I think. And
yeah, that's good.
And so she'd been to Paris and met a woman called Deborah Pivin, who's an amazing woman, who she opened the first vegan restaurant in Paris, which, I mean, she was very nearly shot for treason, as you can imagine. And
in France, that's brave.
Yeah, exactly. Back then, that was very brave. And Kim had realized that I gotta go vegan. And so she'd been vegan for a couple of months. And then we got together and I was like, brilliant, now I can just do it. And the relief, you know, the absolute euphoria of it. I mean, I say, you know, there I'd been saying all the time, oh, I'd go vegan, but it's miserable. But the euphoria, the elation, the lightness in your mind when you suddenly make a dietary choice that is in alignment with your core values of don't needlessly harm people. Mm-hmm. Not having to do that cognitive dissonance, the lightness was just an amazing feeling. But I do remember, you know, I had to go around with a sort of survival kit. I always had like a jar of peanut butter in my bag. And I can't remember what else. Oh, for a while I tried going around with a jar of coconut oil because you couldn't get vegan margarine. Oh, you know, you sort of forget that. And so I'd try and use that like on toast if I was in a hotel or something.
Wow. But like Ford Prefect with his towel.
Yes, it was. It was a comfort blanket. That's all it was.
Amazing.
So yeah, they were gloomy days. But I mean, now come off it.
Yeah, we're just Johnny come lately. We're just approaching our sixth anniversary. But so everything was already on the shelves. So we've had it easy compared to you old timers.
We were saying in the intro there when you were saying there, Jake, about the turning, if we can all turn one person vegan in a year thing. There was a thing released on Plant Based News. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. There's been a study by Finder.com saying that the number of vegans in the UK exploded in 2023. Yeah. Research suggests with 1.1 million more people living a fully animal-free lifestyle than early in the year. It suggests there are now 2.5 million vegans in the UK, equivalent to 4.7% of the population. Now, if all of those people do what you've just said,
that's right.
It won't be just long.
Yeah, and I think that's where it gets really exciting, and is this tipping point. And I do think it's fascinating the kind of the backlash that's now begun. You know, this sort of culture war thing that's happening, where we were just sort of laughed at for years. It's now, yeah. I mean, even today I saw a Daily Mail headline saying vegan restaurant forced to serve meat as diners eschew the vegan diet.
Oh, come on.
And you always see these articles that sort of say, plant-based meat alternatives on the wane as people leave veganism. And it's like, no, I think it's just that we've stopped eating anything that's vegan. Just out of sheer gratitude.
Just because it is there.
Yes.
And again, I'm sorry, but I'll call it. Heck, your sausages were terrible. I mean, they were terrible sausages. You know, people didn't stop eating your sausages because they were turning away from veganism. They were turning away from really terrible food and they sucked. I mean, it was like eating swill. It was just dreadful food. And so, yeah, people will stop eating crap food.
Yeah.
those like pundits, like your Piers Morgans and stuff, they always turn to the Greg sausage roll and the Beyond Burger. That's not all we eat.
No.
They're not the only things we eat, but you always come harping back to it.
Yeah.
Piss off.
Yeah, and it's always you always get the argument avocados and almonds and all of that.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Very terrible. But it's sort of like us, if we were to turn to them and say, all that foie gras you eat.
Yes.
Like, we're not just eating foie gras. You know, there is sort of
spectrum
of awfulness. And sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing better than a hunk of prime Labrador steak, wonderfully marbled. And that is almost entirely dependent on how it's produced. Elwood's Organic Dog Meat has complete control of this entire journey. So I'm here at Elwood's Farm to find out a little more about it.
Welcome to Elwood Farms.
Thank you very much, Elwood.
I hear you do a bit of barbecuing.
I do a little bit of barbecuing every now and then, yes.
From a chef's point of view, consistency is key for everything.
It doesn't matter if it's a Rottweiler ribeye, a Pyrenees mince, or a lab sirloin.
You can always tell when the dog comes from a place where it was well reared. And every step has to be right, doesn't it? Oh, you should see these guys. So, from an Elwood's point of view, there's complete traceability.
Absolutely. Unrivaled traceability, so it's fine.
Every single piece of dog meat?
Yeah, from pub to farmer's market.
Everything the dog's been fed?
Everything about it.
For each dog?
Yeah. Only Marks and Spencer's and Whole Foods do this.
Where else can people order from?
From elwooddogmeat.com. That's ELWOOD dogmeat.com.
For top quality meat from dogs for people. Meat that's local, sustainable, and humanely harvested. There's only Elwood's Organic Dog Meat.
They seem pretty friendly, don't they? They're more responsive to me than my kids, to be honest.
This episode is supported by Vegums, the UK's leading provider of vegan gummy vitamins. Vegums were developed specifically for vegans and people eating a plant-based diet, so they contain all the essential vitamins and minerals we need, like vitamins B6, B12 and D, as well as selenium, iron, iodine and omega-3. Vegums are pharmacist-formulated, gluten-free, contain no artificial colorants and are certified vegan by the Vegan Society. They contain natural flavorings and just a pinch of natural sugar. Vegums are available as a one-time purchase or as a subscription, so you never have to worry about running out. And for a limited time, listeners to How I Vegan podcast can get 20% off any online purchase using the code HOW20 at the checkout. Visit vegums.com for further details. That's vegums.com, vegums.com. And don't forget, add HOW20 for 20% off any one-time purchase or subscription.
I was on Channel 5 a couple of weeks ago. I think I'm in one or two databases now of being a sort of go-to
celebrity vegan.
Yeah, put up for trolling on like Good Morning Britain. I've done a couple of times and I was up against the guy. I'm sure you saw the clip, the guy who was asked to work out which is the vegan sausage sandwich and which is
yes.
Oh yeah.
And what struck me about him more than anything was just that he lied. I mean, just flagrantly lied. And I feel like perhaps I'm naive in the world of televised debates, but I mean, he just literally lied. He said there is no evidence to support the idea that a vegan diet could be better for the environment. So there definitely is. There absolutely is. I've seen cats. I said to him, wait, look, you don't have to believe me. You know, I bang a tin tray over my head for coins for a living. But I think David Attenborough knows what he's talking about. Like, so it was extraordinary. Just literally lying. I don't know.
It's so
you
annoying.
Can tell when he does it. You can tell when he's doing those interviews that he's just spouting crap just to get a reaction. And you just think, what's the point? What are you trying to achieve?
Yeah. It does. I mean, there you are consuming dead animals, but like how dead inside do you have to be? That's how you make your money, by just lying.
Yeah.
So what do you think's been the hardest thing for you since going vegan then?
That's
apart from putting up with knobheads like that.
Yeah.
very little's been hard. I think the hardest thing is trying to, there's that sort of Cassandra feeling when you, it's like, I've seen what's happening and you haven't, and you're telling me I'm an idiot, or I'm wrong, or that it's fine, or that I should just be okay with it. And I do really struggle with that. I remember one New Year's, I went to my cousin's and they were passing around a cheese board. It was a sort of extended family thing. And one of my cousins said, so why are you vegan? I was like, do you know what? You guys enjoy your cheese board. It looks fantastic. Let's have this conversation tomorrow. And she said, no, come on, why? I was like, honestly, there's no need to, just don't worry about it. And she kept pushing until in the end I said, okay, here's why. And I just—
You asked for it.
Yeah.
Bare bone stuff. And I remember that, so that was one of my cousins, one of my other cousins' wife who was hosting very graciously. I think it was her. She said, you made me feel like I'm a bad person. And I sort of said, look, I didn't want to have this conversation. I tried not to have this conversation. But if you want to go into it, I don't think you're a bad person, but I think that what you're doing is immoral. And, you know, she I think prides herself on being a very upright and good, virtuous person.
Yep.
And it's very difficult to say, no, you're not.
Mm. And there's a lot of people like that who are... would never dream of doing anything to hurt anybody, would, you know, obey the law at every opportunity, would not consider themselves to be immoral people until you talk about the food on their plate.
Would hold themselves up to be a much more moral person than me, which on some levels may hold some water. But, you know, on this fundamental one of harm, it's unconscionable. And so I find it increasingly hard to deal with the pre-vegans because you kind of think all the evidence is there now and all the options are there, all the alternatives, which kind of comes back to that idea of like Beyond Burgers and fake meats and stuff. Mm. Actually, they're great. You know, for people who just need an absolute direct analog of the stuff they were eating when they were eating meat, yes, you absolutely need... So that there's no sort of resistance to the path to veganism, but I've sort of started to slink away from that stuff a little bit. I still love a really
I found that no, I found that. I said before, I've started surrounding myself with more compassionate people, particularly in my job. You know, I'm surrounded by compassionate people, and you talk about veganism and I get comments like, but I just don't care.
Wow.
I'm like, hang on a minute, but you do. I know fundamentally you are a compassionate person.
Yeah.
So you do care. You're just not accepting it. And it's horrible. It's just hard. It's horrible.
Those are the really hard ones. There's a guy that I worked with who sort of said, well, yeah, no, vegans are right. I was like, okay. So?
Yeah. Why are you still eating that burger?
Yeah. It's like, what can I do? You're even agreeing now. Like,
yeah.
I think that's been the big struggle. That and fish sauce. Do miss a good fish sauce.
Oh.
It's about the only thing now. You can get great cheeses. You can.
Mm.
If you haven't tried Mouse's favorite blue cheese, you haven't lived.
Mouse's favorite.
If you have
where would we find Mouse's favorite? I've not heard of that.
It's stocked in a few shops and a few online shops, but if you just Google Mouse's favorites, they'll come up. It's a one woman band and it's phenomenal. Her story is amazing. She sort of went around like French farms saying, could I have some of your camembert bacillus? And the French farmers were like, what do you want that for? I'd like to make a vegan camembert. And then she'd have to run like the wind, you know. Shotgun ringing in her ears. But she did it. She sourced all of these, you know, the actual original molds from
That's amazing.
Her blue cheese is phenomenal. And she does a sort of camembert-y thing that's, I think they're out of this world. So the cheeses thing is fine. The fake meats is great. It's just like, that really horrific funk of nasty fish, like really borderline wretch level fish muck. You know what I mean? Like dirty anchovies.
You're really selling it to us there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I want that. And I haven't yet found that.
Wow.
Nori. I know you can soak nori, but it doesn't taste like a warm bucket of fish heads, does it?
And most people would say that's a good thing.
Nice and fizzy. That's how I want it. Come on.
Wow. Okay. That's never something that's come up before, I don't think. It's fish sauce. Oh,
yeah, that's the one, I'm telling you. You can get everything else now. Everything else but the fish sauce.
You really can. You really can get everything else. But okay. Well, I might edit that out just so that people don't start using it as an excuse. Because the current excuse is, oh, but what about all the animals that get killed when you're plowing your crops? But we don't want it to become, oh, yeah, but what about fish sauce?
No, come on. They can have a look. The point is, if fish sauce is that important to you, you don't care about the 2 trillion marine animals we pull out of the ocean every year. And the fact that we're just wrecking everything in the ocean that there is. If you really care about it that much, if your meal needs that little bit of extra spice, if your palate is so precious and important, if those little neurons in your brain have to be stimulated at any planetary cost, then wow, do it. But history will judge you.
Absolutely. Good grief.
There.
I
can live without the fish sauce.
Yes.
I just drop an old pair of boxer shorts in the curry and it's the same.
Or the stuff you get at the bottom of a jar of capers or something like that, that sort of salty.
I feel the secret has to be fermentation. You know, I've got quite into fermentation. I feel like there's got to be maybe I should try and ferment some nori. Maybe that would be
what's the worst that can happen, really?
Well, botulism.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But so, I mean, your gravestone would look amazing, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Creating vegan fish sauce.
Yeah.
Vegan fish sauce pioneer.
Yeah. I'm ready for my blue plaque. That'd be great. Vegan fish sauce pioneer.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's it. Everything else is great.
Good. Well, that's the main thing. So you mentioned that your partner was vegan when you went vegan, but what did the rest of your sort of family and friends and acquaintances think about it?
Well, it was really interesting. And I think it is a pivotal moment in your life when you out yourself as vegan. You know, going vegan is one thing, but when you actually sort of out yourself 5 minutes later, you tend to and by the way, that is a myth, and I can prove that, because I had some quite good friends who I went round to their place for dinner and they had no idea I was vegan. So actually, we probably should pipe up.
Yes. That would have been awkward.
That was awkward. But it is you I think it does force a degree of let's face it, there's a sort of there's a social squash ladder in your head. There's a hierarchy of people that are important to you in your head, and people move up, people move down depending on what happens. And I think it is a huge reordering of that in a way, because it's fundamental value, and actually does embrace, for me certainly, it's an intersectional idea. You're basically saying, I believe in equality and I believe in not causing harm and I believe in not exploiting. And so I don't think you can be vegan and not be a feminist and be anti-racist and all the other important causes. And so there is this kind of degree of, okay, I've joined the dots and here I am in front of you now. And it's sort of like being the first one to give up smoking or drinking in a social group. You know, a lot of people really don't want to hear it. They don't want it because that means they've got to scrutinize their own choices. So they'll sort of shout you down. But you suddenly realize, oh, who are the important people? Who are the people who kind of will see what I've done and gone, oh, you're right.
Yes.
I'm immensely proud of my parents, who within a very short space of time of me going vegan were like, oh yeah, we should do that. And so they're vegan.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
I am responsible for Philomena Kunk going vegan.
No.
I influenced a producer who went vegan, and she then influenced Diane Morgan, and she went vegan. So I'm claiming that one as part of my chain reaction.
That is incredible.
That's two people.
I'm having that.
2,000 people.
There you go. Yeah. So
that is really good.
Perhaps the people that you're close to, you're always going to be close to, you know, there are family members who, you know, they're never going to come with you, but you sort of have to love them because they're your family. But I think perhaps to look at it more positively, you feel a very strong bond and a very strong kinship with those people who come with you, you know, those people who say, yeah, I get it. And I'm going to do that. Or, you know, people who were already vegan. That sort of fraternal, sisternal, uncle-ternal, auntie-ternal, I don't know what that. You do suddenly feel that very strong sense of alignment with those people, because you suddenly realize that fundamental value is in them too, and it makes you trust them more, and, you know, it's important, I think.
That's, I think that's probably the case for you and I, Wes. I mean, we've known each other for 21 years. Our wives are sisters, Jake. So I don't, that kind of makes us brothers-in-law, but I don't know what the rules are around that. So I'd say brothers-in-law, but
you can make sure I don't have twins.
Yeah. So Wes is about, 2 or 3 weeks ahead of me.
Yeah.
And it made such a difference having that someone who was just going through all the same stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
For me. And even though we'd known each other for years and years beforehand, we're much closer now than we were before.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
I can well imagine that. And I think you come to a point where you just feel compassion, you know, you just sort of feel sad about it. It's not, I do feel angry. I feel angry with the people who pay for it. You know, I do feel angry with the pre-vegans who say, you're making me feel like a bad person. I do feel angry with them because the evidence is there and it's not difficult now. It's so not difficult. But I don't feel, in a weird way, I don't feel so angry with, I don't feel angry with abattoir workers. And I don't always feel angry with farmers. And I think it is important to try to extend the compassion. I was so moved by the, is it 73 cows, 59 cows, 22 cows, some cows. It's a short film. I think it's 73 cows. I'll have to check it out. And it's a very sweet film. And it's one you can show pre-vegans safely. It's, you're not beating them over the head with slaughterhouse footage, but it's just a story of a dairy farmer. I think it was like third generation, maybe more, who just one day said to his partner, I can't do this anymore. I can't send them off. I can't send them to, I can't keep doing this. And so they had to work out, well, what the hell do we do with these 422 cows? I can't remember how, I think it's 73 cows. And it's just the story of their journey, of what they decided to do. And I do think as vegans, it's really important that we're not demonizing people who are trapped in systems, you know, in sort of systems that it's very, you know, you can't just say to a dairy farmer, well, you should stop, any more than, you know, with, in my opinion, like with Just Stop Oil, it's like, you can't just stop. How do you stop Meals on Wheels or people who have to, you know, like, you have to find a path for these people, which is why St. Peter's important. And we have to extend compassion to those farmers and say, I see how hard your life is. I see that you care about these animals. And I see that you can't sit easy. the idea of sending them all off for slaughter? And how can we find a model that will help you move on from this arcane system? Because I don't think it's good. We're not going to get anywhere with the sort of adversarial thing.
No, absolutely. And we kind of, did we touch on this one of our recent episodes? There needs to be sort of governmental support to help them retrain in a different area so that they can, like you say, they can branch out and move away from dairy production or, killing animals, basically.
It's like I said, didn't I, that at the end of the day, a farmer's a businessman.
Yes. Or woman.
Or woman, sorry, yeah. And if that's what they are, they're running a business, then a business has to move with the times. And if you're a good business person, then you work out what that path is for you. And if you need assistance to do that, go find it. But don't just moan that you can't do it. Because, you know, another line of work that their business might be running into the ground, and they can turn it around if they work out what that next path is.
Yeah, but that's not to say it's not daunting, you know.
Not at all. No,
when you've got all of your capital tied up in a herd of cows, the idea of not then getting that money out of them by saying, it's like someone saying, "We'll just give up your house." Well, I can't. I often get these sort of ideas in my head for sort of schemes, and I had this idea of like we should start a vegan fund for farmers to help them divest away from, and it's always such a relief when someone else has that idea. There's a couple of schemes now with people doing that. I'm so relieved because it's like I was never going to get it together, you know. I can't do what the chances of me getting a movement like that off the ground are nil.
So. No, I get that. It's that, like you say, it's reassuring that somebody else has thought of that. I mean, we're not ideas people, are we? Whereas we just like reading about ideas that other people have had.
We still struggle doing this.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, running a podcast is a nightmare with guests. Forget it. Impossible. What are you doing? Madness.
So bringing the mood up a bit. What's the best thing about being vegan?
Playing with food. It's the joy.
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
Experimenting and discovery. It's, you know, you for years, you know, I sort of cooked, but you can sprinkle cheese and butter over anything and it will taste fantastic. I mean, there's no getting away from it. You know, it's addictive. It's designed that way. So, yeah, we will suckle on that all day long and it will taste amazing. And I'm fascinated by cookery shows. I love MasterChef, the professionals, and I watch cookery shows all the time. And you watch them literally put like half a pack of butter into a pan with a steak and then just spoon the butter over. I'm like, that's too easy. That's chewy. Come on. And I love, and particularly like it, for me, the early days of veganism for me 13 years ago, where there weren't that many alternatives. And so you did have to get inventive and you had to figure out, well, it started to make you have to unpack the sort of foundational principles of food. You know, what gives you a sense of satisfaction? You know, it's fat, oils give you that. But actually like a proper unfiltered coconut oil has that sort of weird buttery aromatic thing. And that will kind of hit that spot a lot for you. Or, you know, how do you give tofu a really good bite? How do you give it a really dense texture that makes it, you know, satisfy that carnal aspect of your persona when you're eating it?
Yeah, I get that.
Best thing to do with tofu, right? If you want to know, from my perspective,
definitely want to know.
Get firm tofu, break it up, tear it into chunks in a bowl. And then douse it in Maggi liquid seasoning. You can do soy sauce if you can't find it. But the Maggi is amazing, and I'll tell you why. It's because it's got monosodium glutamate in it, and it tastes incredible. All right, suck it up. We're not here to get healthy.
Nope.
Because step two, once you've done that and quite a bit of that seasoning, then you get a spoonful or two of Hellmann's vegan mayonnaise, and you stir that in so it's all coated, and then you put it in a roasting tin and you roast it at a really hot oven, at least 200. You'll turn it every, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes until it's like properly crispy brown and oily, and it's got a bite on it that you wouldn't believe, but it's got that kind of umami, angry eating thing.
That's
all this stuff about freeze it and then we'll soak up a marinade and blah blah. Yeah, I mean, yes, fine, but if you can't be bothered, just rip open a pack, do that. It's so easy and it tastes really good, and it's got
I'm gonna get that go.
You've got to commit to the, it's going to take a while because it's going to really dry out.
Right. My current favorite is basically just chop it up, chuck some spices on it, and throw it in the air fryer for about 15 minutes. And I'm perfectly happy with that. But one day when I've got loads of time, I'm going to try that.
It doesn't look like it's 3 minutes prep. You know, it's just in a bowl, stirred up, chucked in a roasting tin. And then you've got to be prepared to roast it for, I would say, at least half an hour, because you've got to get all the moisture out.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. I said about the mushroom thing a couple of week episodes ago. I said my latest one was chopping your mushrooms up, fry them till they're brown, spoonful of peanut butter, spoonful of Marmite, bit of soy milk. Oh my God,
why are you bothering with the mushroom part? Just make yourself a peanut Marmite milkshake.
Wow.
I would do that. Yeah. I love that. And I really like, I love experimenting with food. And I it always feels like a big win when you sort of veganize something. I saw a Jamie Oliver recipe over Christmas where he took a big slab of cow and seared it, and then he basically made a Bloody Mary and poured a Bloody Mary over it, and then just put it in an oven for like 4 hours on a low heat. And I thought, that's a really cool idea. And then I thought, well, you know what would go really well with that, like with Bloody Mary, like celery and celery salt, right? Celeriac. So I like julienned a celeriac, and then I made the Bloody Mary mix and I stirred it in and I baked that for like 2-3 hours until all of the juice had reduced down, and it was amazing. And it just felt like, it feels like such a win when you're like, your root one basic bitch bullshit, and I turned it into something better. It's so satisfying.
Oh, I love that. So
playing with food, amazing.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I don't think we've had that before.
Really?
No,
I don't think we have. I've lost track a bit, but I don't think we've had.
It's absolutely that. Yeah. It absolutely sparked a real love for food.
Brilliant. That's good. So what advice would you give to anyone who's thinking about going vegan at the moment? Apart from telling about eggs and cheese.
Literally do it. Like, don't be all like, oh, well, run down the contents in my fridge. Give the contents of your fridge away to friends or colleagues. Just start. Just start. It's so easy. Buy Alpro's. This is not milk. Shop around. You can get it for £1.50. I know it feels like a lot, but trust me, it's worth it. Get the Flora butter in the paper packet because it's really good. And get the Cathedral City cheese. But if you can hold off on the cheese for, I'm going to say like 8 to 10 weeks.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yep.
Because your palate changes. You won't believe me, but it really does. I know that soy milk tastes like wet cardboard right now, but in a few weeks' time, it's going to taste creamy and delicious. You have to be prepared to kind of do a little bit of a march to get to a new place with your palate. And now, to me, dairy tastes disgusting, and I used to adore it. So start now. Don't wait to run your stocks down. Give those away, begin again, but just be prepared that it's not going to taste great at first, but it will.
Yes.
Will change. Hold on, and it will happen.
I
always said it's like when I used to have sugar in my tea and coffee, and as soon as you take sugar out of tea or coffee, it tastes fucking horrible. But now, if I put a sugar in a tea or coffee now, it's too sweet.
Yeah.
It's the same principle. Like you say, it's just your palate's got to get used to the change that's being made.
I mean, I can tell you about experiments I did trying to wean myself off Pepsi Max by cutting it half and half with black tea. But you don't want to know.
Now we do want to know. Black tea.
It was okay.
Really?
I'm not drinking Pepsi Max now for other reasons, but I
oh my God.
Yeah, I got there. It did work. There's a sort of floral thing. It does kind of.
Wow.
Don't start with that. Don't take any advice. Don't make that the advice from me that you take. That was a bit more out there.
No, that's not the advice for someone who's thinking about going vegan.
Yeah. I was trying to replicate
your Pepsi Max with tea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God. Have faith. Your palate will change. And
yes, that's come up a few times, hasn't it? People saying, you know, leave the cheese. You've got to leave the cheese for a few weeks because you cannot go from cow cheese to fake cheese because it will taste like absolute shit.
Your own calcified tears.
Yeah. And I just found out, I think last week, that Violife cheese, which is one of the least worst, is owned by a company that is like one of the biggest beef producers in the world.
Wow.
But you know what?
That might need a bit of Googling to back that up, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
But I circle back. If we can persuade a beef company that they should start making vegan cheese, great.
Yeah.
If we can give them the model that takes them away from making so much beef, great. It's by any means, whatever it takes. You know, I buy Richmond's vegan sausages. They're really good. They're really, really good sausages. And, you know, I'm not happy with what they do as a company, but I hope that I am at least showing them that maybe there's another way.
Yeah.
That's a good shout.
So, yeah.
Who's your vegan inspiration?
That's a really good question. One of my favorite vegan chefs is Alexis Gauthier. He's got a couple of restaurants in London. He's got a very fancy one called Gauthier Soho, which I haven't eaten at yet because it's posh. He was not vegan. He was a Michelin starred chef, proper high-end fine dining chef who I think in 2016 basically said to himself, I can't do this anymore. I gotta go vegan. And went vegan and then said, I gotta make my business vegan, and held on to his Michelin star. And I feel like to do that, really good. And he is. And he's got another place just off Tottenham Court Road in London, if you're ever there, called Studio Gauthier. And it's really reasonably priced food during the day, particularly. There's like he calls it a salad buffet. It's not salad. Like roast potatoes are not salad. Come on.
No.
But it's phenomenally good food. And he does sushi that just blows your mind. And I think he's a very lovely man. I've interviewed him a couple of times. And he runs a charity that's campaigning against foie gras. And he's just all round. I love his food. I love his restaurants. I love what he stands for. I would say him and Deborah Pivin, who I think she's called the Gentle Gourmet, who's based in France. And she's on my chain reaction link. You know, she inspired me to go vegan.
Yes.
So I kind of owe her. Too. She's fantastic. Both of them just have a very benign, gentle presence, you know. Anyone who manages to ride that screaming, angry, hot, wet eyes, hectoring vegan thing has my admiration, because I don't always manage to swerve that.
I get that. Well. I get that absolutely. Okay. And Have we covered favorite vegan venue or restaurant? Would that be
it would probably be the places, but I mean, I will slum it at a neat burger. I'll do a Temple of Satan. I'll do Mildred's. You can't not love.
Oh yes.
My son is a huge Burger King fanboy. When they ran their wholly vegan one in Leicester Square, we went in there.
Yes.
And I think it blew his mind. it was great. What was really great was seeing people who were so angry and indignant that everything was vegan, they walked out. Okay, bye.
Oh, can you imagine?
It's just extraordinary.
You're taking our choice away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I would say those are my favorites.
This question stems from the term Viztopia, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with, but it was coined by Claire Mann, who's an Australian psychologist, I want to say. And it's defined as basically the anguish that vegans feel living in a non-vegan world.
Oh, yeah.
And we stumbled upon it when we were feeling pretty crappy about the state of things, and it feels like you're pissing in the wind most of the time. But on the back of that, do you have hope for the future?
Yes, I really do. I think finally, yeah, okay, sure. At COP28, apparently you couldn't get plant-based milks in the coffee stands. But the slow joining of the dots about the climate crisis and how much our diet is intrinsically linked to it, I think is going to be a real pivotal thing for a lot of people in the next few years. I think that now that people are overtly saying it, and I do, you know, huge credit to David Attenborough for having explicitly said that, which is a major sticking of his head above the parapet. It's going to be much more of a factor. I do find it staggering when you get people who've got kids and they won't go vegan. And you're kind of like, you do understand what you're doing to your children's planet, right? Mm. But I think that's going to come to the fore more. I think that's going to push more people into veganism. And I do think, I always say, you know, we're puny, but we're growing in numbers. You know, we're incredibly weak, but there's a sort of swarm potential. And if we are at 2 million in the country, and I don't see any reason not to believe that, there's going to be this kind of exponential curve upwards.
Yep.
There's always going to be the diehards. There's going to be a certain percentage of the population that will never come with us. They will never go vegan. It's just, and you know, but they will die out like the dinosaurs. And I think that when you're going forward, if you are vegan already, and you know, you have those conversations, don't waste your time on the diehards.
Yeah.
Someone else who's more open to the idea, because those are the people who are going to come with us. And we will win. We are in the right. And there are so few things one can unequivocally say that about in this world. But this is absolutely the one.
I love that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yes. You're right. Yeah. I kind of feel like we're at the point where, you know, the suffragettes were, where people are, you know, who were trying to get gay marriage legalized.
Yeah.
At the start, it's just you and maybe one or two others. And then after a while, people start coming around to your way of thinking, actually, do you know what? Yeah, I do agree with that. And then before you know it, there's no option but to do it because everyone's clamoring for it. And I think when we spoke with, was it George Wes from Carnism Debunked? And he said it's, you know, you need a certain percentage and then you get to that tipping point and it's undeniable at that point.
Exactly.
And it's not even that high, the percentage, but
yeah, Chris Packham said it as well, didn't he? Chris Packham said there's a statistic out there that at a certain point you get to a percentage and it snowballs from there.
There's a graph. It looks like a sort of an S that you've tipped over, if you can imagine that on a graph. And you know, so we've been going along the sort of bottom bit of the S, but we're just starting this mad exponential incline up. And at the end, this is sort of about the percentage of the population. At the top of the S, that's where you get the diehards who will never come with you.
Yes.
Yes.
By then, you're running at 85-90% of the population. That's
We'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's the old saying, first they laugh at you, and they're angry with you, then they say bacon though, and then you leave the dinner party because it's a rubbish party.
That famous saying, yeah.
No, you know the one.
Oh, Jake, that's absolutely tremendous. Thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate you giving up your time to speak with us. And thanks also for giving us your voice on the L-Words advert.
Anytime.
That was fantastic.
Thanks so much.
And
we'll
look out for your new projects coming soon. Well, how about that?
It was great, man.
That was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was great fun, and I actually made notes.
Wow.
I say I made notes. I waited till the end because I couldn't find a pencil, and then I quickly had to write it while we were in a gap. I know we've covered this before, but something Jake said blew me away a little bit. Now, it was mentioned about mine and your friendship, relationship, whatever you want to call it. About how we've known each other for all that time. But like I said, I know we've sort of covered this previously, very sort of briefly, but we didn't used to interact that much.
No.
For many, many, many reasons, some of them my fault, and I held my hands up, and you know I apologize for that. But also, now we're here, and the changes that have happened, we're, like you said in the show, we're a lot closer. Mm-hmm. We speak more, we're more interactive. And I wondered if there is a part of that is because we spoke about before how, not we have, but on the pod, how when you go vegan, you start being more compassionate about all the other causes that are out there, like Jake touched upon.
Mm-hmm.
And whether our views aligning more with each other has assisted that.
I think that's probably a really fair point, yeah. Because, like, we always got on, didn't we? And there were, I mean, we went on holiday with our wives for, what were we, a fortnight we were in the place in Spain, weren't we? Just the four of us. And, whenever we saw each other, we'd always get along. But we'd never make an effort to go out for a drink or something, just the two of us or anything like that, would we? Very little...
there was nothing negative about it. It was just
familial rather than friendly, wasn't it? It was because of the family connection rather than a friendship. Yes, that's right. Yes, and I think you're probably right there that the views, our sort of views and our ethics have probably sort of come into line, haven't they?
Starts off negatively but positively blowing my own trumpet that they were my views that weren't in line because of let's say who I was surrounded with.
I think your upbringing contributed a lot to it. I think that's fair to say, isn't it?
My views were not good, let's say. But since we moved up here, and I don't know if it was veganism, but my outlook on life became more compassionate. And
yes, I've definitely noticed that.
I said I can't. I don't know what the words are really, but the acceptance of anyone and everything around me as much as possible.
Yeah.
Has changed. I was always like that. I just didn't present as that.
Yes.
But I am presented as that. It's brought me and you close together. That is my point.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of growth. And I think moving away was from that point of view, the best thing that you could have done, because it was away from some negative influences. Yeah. That's allowed you to come out and be yourself.
Yeah. Secondly, there was, I can't remember what it was, what Jake said. So that's a bit crap. But it resonated with me about, that's really vague news, the most ridiculous vagueness ever. But I saw a video of an interview with Brian Cox, Professor Brian Cox.
Yep.
And he was saying about how, it wasn't so much about veganism, but he said about how, I don't think he's vegan. He's a scientist. He's very clever, but he's not vegan.
Not clever then.
But he was saying about, we're on this such an amazing planet. This planet is most likely one of its kind in the known universe. They've done research and they don't think there's anything else that we can see that could exist like us.
Mm.
Yeah. Humanity treats the planet crap and we're destroying it the way we are, but also war. We're on this such a beautiful planet and there's so many people that just want to fight each other all the time and it's just shit.
So depressing, isn't it?
Where I live now, we live North Manchester. We live a 5-minute walk from being in the middle of the hills and a 20-minute train journey into the centre of Manchester. And it's not the Alps or Nepal, but it's a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah.
So we live in this area and even the locals say that they don't appreciate it enough.
Wow. Even though you can see it out of your back bedroom, you can see the hills.
We know when we moved up here, we realized what we'd got. You know, we moved here because of that reason. And locals, our neighbors say, genuinely, we know the countryside is there. We just don't appreciate it. But then on the grander scale of where all the beautiful things that are on this planet and people just abuse it. And you just think, why?
Yep.
What aren't you seeing? What are you so blinkered with? Power, money, greed, all those other things.
That's it.
It's shit.
Power, money, greed. Yeah, absolutely. That's all it is. It's just
that's my
selfishness.
That's my little thought for the day.
Yep, that's fair. I felt like we could have chatted with Jake all evening just about stuff. I mean, I never even got to ask him about how he got to be a writer on Never Mind the Buzzcocks. I mean, that's like so exciting. And you know, all kinds of stuff. Maybe we'll get him back on in a while when we've run out of guests. But I mean, if the number of vegans is increasing by a million a year, we'll never get around to it. But we'll see.
No, he's really good. He's a good guy, and you know, he's very down to earth. He was really, really enjoyable chat.
And I tell you what, when I was doing a bit of research, well, yesterday when I was on the train, which as it turns out, I was at the St. Pancras at the same time as he was, but I was on the train, and some of the videos on his YouTube channel are absolutely hilarious. He does all of, it's like a sketch of every episode of Strictly Come Dancing in like a minute and a half. You know, all the sort of tropes that you get throughout Strictly.
Yeah.
And Deal or No Deal and This Morning and what was the other one? Like Radio 4 and stuff like that. And it was absolutely hilarious. So that's some of the older stuff, the older comedy stuff. And then he does a lot of new, more vegan-centric stuff as well. So definitely worth checking it out.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that myself.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Oh, and I tell you what, this is a very niche, thing. But remember when we had Nazi on and I was talking about the iconic photo of her running in the vegan runner's top, being chased by a bunch of... mainly by a bunch of men, and they all look really pissed off that they're being beaten by a vegan runner. And I'm fairly sure it's completely unrelated, but the, what's it called? The cover image on the Facebook page for Vegan Runners Park Run page was changed back to the picture of Nasir.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's been about a year and a half since it was that. So it was great. Nice. Spurred a lot of positive comments about how great the picture is. And obviously, I took an opportunity to say, why don't you listen to our chat with Nasir? and here's a link to the Spotify episode.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Good work.
So, yes, thanks, Nasir, for that.
Yeah, this always makes me laugh. All the podcasts I listen to, and I'm sure you do as well, how everyone says bye. It just makes me chuckle. I was listening to You're Dead to Me, the guy that started Horrible Histories.
Oh.
He does a history podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of thanks the comedian, thanks the historian, and he goes, why don't you check out some of our other episodes that are linked to this one? Bye.
And that's it.
That's it, gone.
Wow.
And then the Second World War one I said to you about, and he's talking away mid-conversation with the guest, and he goes, anyway, that seems like a good place to stop. Bye-bye.
Just like, maybe he's got to that last 1 minute of a Zoom call as well and done the same thing, just like, right, bye. Wow.
But I think it's like when he's editing it, he's like, blah, 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 and he's like, I'm just going to play the outro there. And then he just slices the outro into that. It's like,
anyway,
that seems like a good place to wrap it up. See you next time. Bye.
Wow.
Really quick.
Okay. Bizarre. Well, that seems like a good place to end. Bye. No, we'd never do you dirty like that, listeners. We'd always like to say thank you so much for listening. Thank you for letting us come in your ears. And... if you want to tell us how much you've enjoyed our podcast, Wes has lost it. If you want to tell us how much you've enjoyed our podcast, why not drop us a line, send us a message on Instagram. You can like, rate and subscribe us on your podcast platform of choice. Not Radio Public, because I think that one's closing down this week. So find another one if you can. And rate us on there. That would be awesome. Or... drop us an email.
Just email us at, edit all that. That's fucking ridiculous. But I won't even know if you will have edited it because I won't listen.
I'm only just going to release that bit of our whole episode, just that bit.
Oh, God, it's because we're coming in everyone's ears. Oh, good God. If you want to email us, you can email us at howivegan@gmail.com. Oh, God, I need to go to bed.
Marvelous. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.